The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Hirn schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
State of war will exist soon. This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world. And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
As Noah starts on Arc 2, welcome to A Walk in the Black Forest 2008, episode number 284. On tonight's show, the spoil sport enters the race, a World Youth Day finally gets figures, the insatiable Hobblong Cassidy, blaming Keating, Clinton versus Obama, Pete's Adventures, Sir John Howard, Pulse Monkey 101, and DRM. All that, and 11 years of rampant government cost-cutting. A Walk in the Black Forest. It's raining men. You guys alright?
Yeah, okay, cool. The problem is that song had us so focused on its musicality and on its I'm just going to give up now. This is a Walking Back Forest, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'd like you to finish. Because
I have no idea what I had to say next.
No, I do, because I'd like you to spend 5 minutes on it, because I know what's going to happen is Abe's going to go back, take out the
and then I'll sound like a total dick.
Yeah, exactly.
And excellent.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And another guy will be going, he's just doing what he always does. Talks about nothing.
Yeah. I've made a radio career out of it. Why change
exactly.
Now?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
That is very true. Welcome back to Forest Suitable R88.5. We're back, baby!
Can I just say that Abe has a red knob, Pete has a yellow knob, and I have a black knob.
Where have you been sticking your knob?
That's very true. For those of you who have missed us in the last couple of weeks, bad luck.
Didn't you lose to get a life?
Exactly.
Yes.
On this very program, as I mentioned, we've got a lot and lot of stuff, but I want to start with something which actually, this came out in the news a couple of weeks ago, but you know what, since then, every time I've thought about it, it makes me angry. Now, this is the man who couldn't be asked to turning up to probably one of the most significant parliamentary sittings in modern history. Mm. All his predecessors did, including a man who was in his 80s and can't walk properly. Mm. Yet he didn't bother to turn up.
Not exactly the same thing, though.
What do you mean? In his 80s and can't walk properly? Or?
Well, who are you talking about?
What's about golf?
Yes, well, yes. He's not exactly a Nazi.
That's true. That is true.
So I don't think the comparison really
works. No, but what I'm saying is there was the entire league of former living prime ministers.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go out on a limb and say, you know, the greatest sort of social injustice has been, you know, we're on the stepway to that. And not even Gough Whitlam turned up. You wouldn't say that, would you?
No, because that's very true.
You would fully expect him to be there.
That's very true. And that's the thing, with the man I'm just about to talk about, you probably didn't expect him to be there because, basically, he's a childish prat.
No, petulant first.
Where he was?
You'd probably expect him maybe
to tell everyone to fuck off.
In the eastern sector of the Ardennes?
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe,
that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, the Sudetenland. I think he's old school. I think he's back in the Sudetenland.
He's actually in South America.
Really?
He was in South America doing...
that's where he's been since the election. Though, right? Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, he was visiting some people who had been there a little bit longer.
Yes.
1945, I believe they ended up over there. But
I think it's very obvious that they've actually mastered the way to... of email, because obviously they've been helping him with his policies for some years.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah,
now,
that's brilliant.
He's over there because now he's a paid global speaker on leadership, and will be joining George
that's
W.
Ironic,
Bush
isn't it?
in a look, I hate to
in
use the phrase. No, I was going to say a double team of of speaking. Now he did.
I'd so pay money to see that. Not.
Can I just say, isn't it kind of stupid that John Howard is a talk about leadership, considering the only way he actually kept his leadership was to lie to the next contender, and then he probably had the most leadership, or runs at the leadership, than any other person on the face of the planet. Mm.
Yes, and then also lie to the Australian people.
Well, he does that anyway. That's
fair enough. Yeah, that's a good point. So, the man, of course, we are talking about is Peter Costello. No, I mean John Howard. He is a tool. That's pretty simple.
Did you see Wilson Tucker Shop? He was standing up above the...
I still prefer to call him Iron Bar.
Oh, yeah, well, you know.
It's not really Iron Bar anymore. It's more like maybe Aluminium Bar. No, Alfoil Bar.
I was going to say Alfoil more like Mars Bar.
Mars Bar. that's funny.
How about Fuck Bar?
Ding! So he was standing up, while Sorry Day was going on, he was standing up in the gallery above it, just peering down.
Yeah, because he read the Lord's Prayer to open Parliament, then left.
Right.
Along with five or six others, I believe, the Liberals who refused to participate. Well, Maurice Payne, I think, was one of them.
Some left, but some also didn't stand up.
Didn't they?
And one of them was a standing up part.
They just sat down.
And one of them read a magazine.
Oh, that and of course, was Downer there? Did Downer even bother showing up?
I'm pretty sure he was having tea.
Yeah, or lunch.
Or lunch, or golf.
Could have been golf.
Golf, yes.
Peter Costello, was he there? He was there, actually.
He had to be there.
Yeah, and he actually,
just
I think...
in case, you know...
And I actually think...
In case there was a leadership
to give him one, to give, exactly. To give him one minor thing, I think he actually believes it.
Yeah, I think he probably does, too.
Yeah. So, you know, because it was done to the Liberals in some sense as a conscience vote, so...
Isn't it funny that now we look on Costello as actually being... a thinking person.
Yeah.
When really, he's as right-wing as anyone else, but in comparison...
to John Howard.
To little Johnny Fuckbag.
Well, that was the other interesting article that I read today.
Well, he's presided over the greatest economic revolution in the last 11 years, hasn't he?
High inflation, interest rates going through the roof, and a huge employment crash just about to occur.
That's the one!
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Brilliant. Let's spend all the money so there's nothing left. Ding!
Ding! Now, it's interesting, of course, that in today's paper there was a lot of discussion about... Tony Abbott, because he's still got his flag up there saying, you know, John Howard.
He's still got his flag up John Howard.
He has got his flag up John Howard. But so
it must be hard to hold on.
Some of a few of them, though, and it's interesting, there was a great shot in the paper today of Peter McGoran, Mark Vail, Alexander Downer, Philip Ruddock, and... Peter Costello, all just sitting in a line in the back bench. Mm. Now, apart from the fact that it was fantastic to watch them in the back bench, that was great.
Yes.
The second thing is, those people between them are taking $500,000 fucking dollars of our money to sit on the back bench and basically tool off.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, not only are they taking that money, but they're about to suck that out of the economy as well because of the by-elections that are
going
to come
exactly
up in the next
month
or two.
And then...
Instead of conceding on the night of the election when John Howard conceded, which they should have done...
And given it to the person...
And given it to the next person up.
Yep.
You know,
now, of course, there is a bright spot in all this. They could technically lose the seat.
And that is quite possible in somewhere like Costello's seat of also in Adelaide, in Downer's seat.
Pretty much any electorate where there's people.
Yes.
Philip Ruddock, I would suspect, is not going to lose his seat.
P-Rudd's going nowhere.
Yeah, P-Rudd's going to be... That's going to be staying Liberal for a long time.
In fact, I believe Philip Ruddock is actually retaining the seat even after he dies. Actually, they're changing the name of the seat to Ruddock.
Yeah.
He just runs.
But, you know, the funny thing about the Ruddock seat is they're actually putting a fence around it so that anyone who's a different colour can't get in.
Oh, no, that's useful.
Yeah, that's the Ruddock seat. The interesting
thing... they can get in, but once they're in, they get locked up in an island that actually happens to be Normanhurst.
Nice.
And then they get thrown overboard.
Then they get thrown overboard.
Now, the funny thing about these guys... sitting
into the Hawkesbury.
Yes.
The funny thing about these guys sitting on the back bench as well is not only are they sitting up the back, they're wasting out their time. All they're doing is swapping Tarzos and, you know, swapping Pokemon cards.
Yeah, it's just...
You know,
or if you're Alexander Downer, you're out having lunch.
Lunch with the political international editor of the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah.
The other interesting one
an international editor?
They do.
So what? They're the one who watches CNN?
No, they're the one that reports what Paris Hilton is bonking this week.
Right.
Notice I said what.
What?
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, the other thing is that after we talk about the fact that they're sucking $500,000 out of the economy for their wages, they're sucking money out of the economy for the by-elections. They have all been in Parliament for over 10 years.
Mm.
They are going to be on the largest superannuation fund this side of Kirribilli.
Yes, that's pretty amazing, really.
So, them sitting there, no wonder they've all got smug smiles on their faces. Boys, you lost.
Mm.
Don't smile. You lost. But I don't think they really care.
They don't really care.
Because they're going to get huge payouts, lifetime gold passes to Australia's Wonderland if it was still open.
Oh, yeah. That'd be incredible.
They could. You know what? They can go on the merry-go-round. I couldn't think of a ride for a second there. They can go on the merry-go-round anytime they like. They can kick little kids off. That's what the gold pass allows them to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's just particularly on the bumper cars. That's not fun.
No.
They just strap a refugee to the front.
No. See what their bumper cars have. Mm. They have anti-ballistic missiles on their bumper car.
Oh, so that's where the W.
Don't get in their way. Don't forget. You know, we've got the ex-treasurer. You know, we've got Philip Ruddock, who could have got his hands on anything in his time.
Rudtown.
What do you think about Costello maybe hanging out for a leadership contention?
I vote yes.
Yeah.
I think he will. I think what he's letting Nelson do is, effectively walk through the minefield. Clear it out. Mm. Nelson at the end has no arms, no legs.
He's not walking too badly.
Oh, come on.
What, considering there's a minefield there?
There was a period where I was a Liberal leader and I had 9%. It's still more than he has. And I didn't even believe the policies.
Who would you prefer?
Turnbull?
Oh, no. I'd prefer that he stays because I want them to lose.
Yeah, but they've got no other option. Considering they've got no other option.
There's Julie Bishop.
Yeah, there is Julie.
Gotcha.
The only problem with Julie Bishop is that when she walks down the hall, her testicles claim together.
Stupid. We don't want a chicken show.
No, can't have that. No, we've just about sorted that in America.
Yep.
Now, we're going to make sure it doesn't
happen
here.
Nothing turns me on less than a conservative-looking woman.
Unless her name's Helen Coonan.
God, don't start.
See, look, you know, he's blushing.
He's
blushing, you know.
It's beautiful.
There was a little giggle off the mic, like, see, you mentioned Helen Coonan, look what happened.
I know.
It's just, you know, sad.
I think the thing that was really off-putting was he briefly rubbed his nipple. That was just wrong. Let's leave that alone.
Yeah. Anyway, back to
John
Howard.
I wasn't even blushing until he said, look, he's blushing.
No, you're blushing.
I'm blushing because he said I'm blushing.
I know. It's self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, I think Costello will make a run for leadership. That's my theory. But can you do that for the backbench?
Yeah, of course you can.
Because, see, what they're doing now is they're talking up, oh, Costello, we would have been good at this, with blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
No, he's...
But even when he's in, he still won't get more than 12% approval.
And he was the one who led the legacy... The legacy destroyer that was the Four Corners special.
Yes.
And for those of you who are overseas, just go to the abc.net.au. You can actually download the Four Corners special for free.
Mm.
It is probably one of the most amazing pieces of self-flagellation that you will ever see on television.
Except,
the Four Corners analysis of the why the Liberals lost.
Mm. Yeah, this is one last week, yeah.
Yeah, last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. The only the problem with the special I found was that there was a number of things they left out, one of which was there is an anger in the community about the war in Iraq. That was one of the reasons why John Howard dipped in the approval ratings. And the fact that Rudd actually said, we should bring the troops out, is one of the reasons why he did well. There was a number of things left out of the special.
But I'd argue... Oh, sorry, I just peaked like the mother f***er there.
Yeah, you're right.
I'd argue...
You're nothing on me, buddy.
I reckon Costello would have pulled the troops out too. Had he have been in power, I reckon he would have.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, he really is his master's dog. And so whether it's John Howard or George W. Bush, he'll be there to hump anyone's leg.
But he would have done probably a better job with Surrey Day, wouldn't he?
He would have, and I think he probably...
Instead of Brendan clearly walking the line and falling off it.
Constantly. Constantly.
poor guy.
Yeah, that's why I feel a bit sorry for Brendan Nelson, because the reality is I actually don't think he's a... I don't think he's an evil man. I think that he's a very confused man, and I think his own politics have been confused all his life. And
but he hasn't got the guts.
That's been,
to make a stand, and that's what a leader needs to do.
Well, I mean, John Howard had the gut. John Howard would if he in many cases had allowed a free vote in his caucus, would have lost so many votes. Mm. But he just had the balls to walk up and say, "You dare vote against me?"
Mm.
And people just went, "No, John."
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, all right.
I still don't understand why.
Because there was this stupid, mistaken belief that the only person who could deliver them an election win where they held the battlers was John Howard. Because the belief, and there was this argument, and I saw this in one of the analysis pieces this week, was the argument that he brought together an unholy coalition of the Blue Bloods and the battlers, which should never have been together in voting for one party.
I just don't think
But they voted true. For John Howard.
Yeah.
They didn't vote for the Liberals. They don't. If you said to them, vote for the Liberal Party, they couldn't do it because their brains are ingrained against it. But John Howard, for some strange reason, and I have no idea how people believe this, came across as a little Aussie battler.
No, that's not true.
I think it's partly to do with his stature. I mean, he's short, he's got the glasses.
People thought about the eyebrows were messy and bushy.
He looks like an underdog. Right,
yeah,
he's been around since the dawn of time.
And he played up his whole, grew up in Canterbury and all that sort of stuff.
So I think, you know, there's an Aussie Batman. It's not being, he's not a Keating. He's not a tall, strong-looking sort
he's
of...
He's a hawk.
Man. He's
not
a man.
He's hawk.
You know,
he's the Liberal equivalent of hawk in some senses.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know whether people actually did perceive him as the battler until the media started to say he was the battler. The reason why people turned to him was because he successively paid them off. Every election, he paid people off. Baby bonus.
Yeah.
First home buyer's allowance. Boom, 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 boom. He paid people off. So people in the outer suburbs were, oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to have seven more children.
Well,
I'm a single mother with the child.
There are a number of people who said that I will vote for the party that shows me the most money.
Yeah, that's right. It was a mercenary attitude. And then the media picked up this, oh, he's an Australian battler. I don't think he is. He wasn't a battler. No one ever saw him as the battler.
He was a solicitor.
You can't see him as a battler and a leader at the same time. It's absolutely impossible.
Yeah. See, Kevin Rudd has no element of being that. He tried to play up the battler thing, grew up in a poor suburb, blah, 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 blah. And by benefit of being Labor, he's always going to be considered a lot more working class. But he also appeals to that middle class that doesn't want to get their hands dirty with a battler.
I
was going to say, talking John Howard, but...
I was going to say, while we're on our political thing, you're still going through that, but I was wondering if this was a better time to sort of insert the pole smoking into this segment as opposed to saving it to the end when we've moved on to other things.
I think it's time to insert the pole.
Talking of Costello.
So this was the 25th, which is yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, yes.
So the majority of electors approve of the way Mr Rudd is handling his job as Prime Minister. 71% approve of the way he's doing it. 32% approve of the way Dr Nelson is handling his job as opposition leader.
Mm-hmm.
42 disapprove and 26 can't say.
Mm-hmm.
77% of the electorate say Mr Rudd would be a better PM than Brendan Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
9% say Brendan Nelson would be a better PM. 14 can't say.
The lowest figure, I believe, ever since polling started.
Yes, anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
In fact, I believe Mickey Mouse was polling above him.
So when we compare Rudd to Costello,
it's
67% to Rudd and 28% to Costello.
Which is a significant leap above.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it is.
Hmm.
And 66% say that Mr Rudd would be better PM than Malcolm Turnbull on 21%.
So it's
still quite high. Quite? Did I say quite?
Yep.
Very fucking? Can I say
that? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I would agree.
Voting intention... 52% of Liberal voters say Mr Rudd would be a better Prime Minister than Nelson at 23%.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Liberal voters, 63% say Costello would be a better Prime Minister than Mr Rudd, 30%.
What was interesting...
They actually think Rudd, Costello, Nelson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rudd, Costello, Turnbull, Nelson.
Yes.
Mm.
No, Costello, Rudd. Costello, Rudd, Turnbull, Nelson. Is what the Liberals vote.
Liberal people
vote.
What's interesting...
Rudd, Costello, Turnbull, Nelson.
Hmm.
What's interesting is that the Herald ran a poll today for the New South Wales leadership. Have you got that one there as well?
No, I just have more of that crap, so yeah.
And of course, that was Yemma versus O'Farrell.
Oh dear.
And of course, Yemma is still ahead as preferred premier.
Isn't that hilarious?
Crazy.
Which is strange, but the person who actually is challenging him close, they asked, if Malcolm Turnbull decided to run for premier, he's beating Morris.
Yeah.
But Barry O'Farrell's beaten by someone who has absolutely no chance of ever running, and he's still being beaten by them.
Interestingly enough, they asked the same people whether if George Clooney ran, and 78% of people thought that George Clooney would actually be a better premier than Mickey Mouse.
That's amazing.
I know.
Actually, George Clooney might make a pretty good premier, actually.
You never know.
You don't know his freaking policies.
But
he's the UN ambassador for world peace.
You don't know Yemma's island. He's the premier.
But Scarlett Johansson rated 64% as preferred premier against Natalie Portman.
Yeah, but that was 32% per boob.
That's very true.
Kate Blanchett didn't.
No, she didn't. But interestingly, Natalie Portman made a comment in the paper today saying that because they've just starred in a film together, the other Boleyn. That she really, really desperately wanted to touch Scarlett's boobs because they're great.
Awesome.
Actually, they're not.
They're not?
I'm not that impressed. I saw Scarlett Johansson in The Nanny Diaries the other day, and she's a very plain woman. Yeah. Without all the makeup and stuff, very plain.
Oh, well. Mm. So is John Howard. He's a very plain woman.
Yeah, but I'm
without all the makeup, without all the hair, without the false breasts, he's a very plain woman. Really is.
Is that all you got?
No, I've got more than that.
Because if you've got more, get to it. And if you don't, give him a cue to kick on.
It appears that with the death of Sir Edmund Hillary before...
He was never premier.
There's a space available. But if you put him against, say, Winston Churchill, I believe Sir Edmund Hillary comes up as preferred premier above Maurice Yemma, even though he's dead.
That's incredible.
From
the neck up.
Politically, perhaps.
Yes.
Now, of course, as you know, Australia doesn't actually have any imperial honours left. It was the Hawke government, I believe, that cancelled all imperial honours, and the highest honour you can get in Australia now is the Order of Australia.
Mm.
I believe the highest order you can get in Australia is your shout.
That's very true, yeah.
Yes.
Which John Howard never got, because it was never his shout.
I thought it was always our shout, wasn't it?
It's very much our shout.
Spent our entire time paying.
Now, an interesting thing is that there is still one order left that that Australians can be inducted into. It's called the Royal Order of the Garter, and it's the most senior and the oldest order of British chivalry.
Actually, Alexander Downer has already got that.
He does.
He's worn them with the stockings.
He has.
This is the one that includes an initiation rite of having sex with a goat.
I believe so.
Yes.
Or Prince Charles.
Yes.
Whoever.
You're allowed to choose?
No, who is around at the time?
Oh, right, yeah. They go through a lot of goats, though.
And if you're last in line, it's Camilla.
Yeah. Ooh, that's bad.
Again, they go through a lot of goats.
They do go through a lot of goats, exactly. So, this has a finite number of people that can be in it. So, with Sir Edmund Hillary dying, there's a space available.
It's 200, isn't there? 200? Isn't there more number than 200 or something?
24.
Yes, that or 224.
No,
what I was thinking.
The 200, but only 10% make the Order of the Garter.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
That good? Exactly.
Well, 20 got in and 4 of the goats.
There is one current Australian who is in the Royal Order of the Garter, and that's former Governor General Sir Ninian Stephen.
Yes, good on Ninian.
Winston Churchill was a Order of the Garter. Baroness Thatcher is in there. Sir John Major is there. So we're talking some great...
But neither Australian.
Right-wing free thinkers. So the rumour is that John Howard will be offered the position because he has served, because what you have to do is contribute in a particular way to national life by fucking Australia up.
Thank you.
Particular. And has served the sovereign personally.
It should be like...
get in line. Tony Blair's there first. Just leave him alone.
Not a and show goes by.
Strangely enough, last.
At last, too, yes. Do you really want Tony Blair's sloppy seconds? Oh, dear.
And now, over to Richard.
What's the series of prizes given out for science and stuff?
Oh, the Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize. It should be like the Nobel Prize, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't
lose an election, and then 4 months later
and
be given his
seat.
Given this great award.
Yeah.
When in the next year or two he may be known in public life as the biggest disaster that's happened to Australian politics in decades. It should be like the Nobel Awards, where it takes 50 years after you've done something, you know, before you're awarded. History will define a place for it.
Yes.
And then you know...
Then you reward that.
Then you reward that place. I mean... You don't sort of say, I probably did it right from my eyes.
Unless you've achieved something. I mean, Sir Edmund Hillary, classic example, first person to climb Everest, that's a definable event.
Mm, definitely.
But, you know, a man who completely screwed up a country...
Well, no, hold
not
on.
Not definable.
Because in 15 years, when
history
is
rewritten.
No. No.
History is written by the victors. History is written.
History is restored.
Yes.
The Queen...
The culture wars are over.
The Queen going to look like a right git?
She'll be dead.
She may as well have given it the order to Hitler.
Oh, wait a minute.
Or Heath Ledger.
That's not the order of the garter. That's the order of the something else. Yeah. No, on the other hand, John Howard did achieve a lot in his time.
Yeah.
No other leader has done as much in Australia to bring a racial divide.
Yep.
To bring a divide between rich and poor. And let's be honest, that's what royalty's about. It's about a caste system.
You can't have royalty. You can't have a monarchy without the serfs.
That's right. The rich and the poor.
That's done a lot. That's different from racial prejudice.
I wouldn't have worked that out.
No, the royals are prejudiced against more than just one colour.
Oh.
They're prejudiced against lots and lots of different people.
So,
and the poor.
So what you're saying,
ugly.
Perhaps maybe a better reward for John Howard would be to actually start up an Australian monarchy.
Yeah.
And make the Howards...
Have sex with them.
What, have sex
with the monarchy?
With the monarchy, not... Well,
with the Australian monarchy. Who would be Keating?
Well,
Keating would be the king.
He's already served the sovereign served the sovereign personally, so...
And that's
so
more
than good practice.
Fair.
And that's
true.
more than can be said for Prince Philip.
That's very true.
I reckon the only use for John Howard is he can probably come over and sod the lawns of Kirribilli every now and again.
Nice.
That's not enough.
The show that isn't Lossy Compressed.
Yeah, but isn't AAC...
This is A Walk in the Black Forest, 2RRR at 8.5 FM, episode number 284. And if you're wondering what happened then, nothing, because I cut it out.
There we go.
People who won't be able to do anything with their...
Hi, welcome back.
I'm Richard, how are you doing?
If you've
got
good.
Black files, sucked in. Think of the future.
So, what are we going to do now, boys and girls?
I believe, sir...
I ripped my entire vinyl, collection, and I put it on mag tape.
Yeah, and...
And I haven't heard any music for a while.
Magnetic tape. It saved me
a lot of space in my vinyl drawer.
It's the archiving medium of the future.
It is.
You know what? It's going to revolutionise.
It's going to revolutionise vinyl.
Do you know what it is? It's compact.
Oh. 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 I wonder if you got the mag tape and you put it in something that was about as big as my hand.
Oh, come off the grass.
No. Seriously.
No, you're dreaming.
No, I'm not. I think it's a great idea, mate.
It's like being on Life on Mars.
It wouldn't be as good quality as like a 64 MP3.
No, it would be.
Interestingly enough, I've also recently put my video collection on HD DVD. Unfortunately, I can't find anything to play it.
That's right. No, you should care. They're all available down at the $2 shop.
Ladies,
Silly Willy's has got it now.
Please return your trays to the upright position. And Mr. Pines, could you please vacate the bathrooms?
Pete's Worldwide Travel Adventures.
Yes, Worldwide Travel Adventure, and Pete's on his way out again in 3 weeks' time.
Oh, good God, where are you going now?
I'm not even going to list my itinerary. It takes up 19 pages on A3. Now, I've got, and that's only 16 pages on A2.
Is that like 19 A6 pages on A3?
I think so.
Yeah.
The calculations, it'll work, I'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, he's flying an A380. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. They're beautiful planes,
too. Where did
you
get your license?
He doesn't have one.
His pilot's license.
Yeah.
eBay.
Now you're flying an A380. I'll keep labouring the point until I get a laugh.
eBay.
He just joined Al-Qaeda. Apparently they've got their own school.
Nice. Now, I've got two very quick stories from my travels that I did over December, January. I saw three. In China, I saw three shops.
You know that's what happens, don't you, Abe? As soon as travel comes up, he just labours on.
I know. Keeps going. I'm going to keep this brief, though.
Three shops.
We've got a lot of material. Three shops.
Why do you ask three shops?
With great names. I'm going to start at the bottom. One is a brand. Exactly, that's funny. I'm going to start at the bottom, which is a German brand of underwear, which is only available in China currently, although I believe it's just about to be launched in Austria.
What's that, China Hosen?
The brand of German underwear is called Scheisser. Rather appropriate to call a brand of German underwear.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Showing Scheisser. Me a piece of paper isn't going to prove that it's... Oh, that's Scheisser.
I want to see.
Dive into the world of Scheisser.
You didn't get the tagline.
No, I did. I missed that
one. There's no way that's real.
That's real. Yeah, that's check it out. Wow. Scheisser.de.
She's no, cute. Mate, it's real. I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
She's cute. It's a pity she's incontinent.
Now, the next one is a continent?
Oh.
It's a Singapore brand.
Europe.
It's a Singapore brand. They sell backpacks, bags, and the like. Mm-hmm. And their name is...
Scheisser.
No. Wanko. Global Marketing. Wanko Global Marketing. The final one, which I thought was funny, and I couldn't find any other references to it, but I do have a photo which I'll put on the website, was a young girl's clothing, teenage girl's clothing store in Shanghai called Scat. Right, now...
Is that Pete's Travel Adventures?
No, I've got other one. Now, the other interesting thing, of course, is that Expo 2010 is going to be hitting Shanghai, and, of course, the Olympics happening in Beijing. One of the big problems they have in Shanghai is the fact that the taxi drivers spit a lot.
Yay.
Because everyone spits. There's just spit everywhere. But I saw one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen someone nose spit. Spit out of their nose.
Don't you ever do that?
What, onto an escalator straight in front of you?
No. Straight past you,
onto the step in front of you.
I was actually in Westfield the other day,
yep.
And there was a guy there, you know, an older gentleman. You always hear these old guys complaining about people and this, that, the other.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing up, I will tell you, clipping his toenails.
Nice.
And
classy.
I thought, you know, not only is that style and grace, but you could actually probably film that and put it on YouTube.
You probably could, and get at least 50,000 hits. It'd take that free hugs guy off. So what they've decided to do is put spit sacks into cabs, so that there's this little bowl just on the inside where the driver sits. So instead of winding down the window and just sort of hawking out the window, they can just spit into the spit sack. This is all really interesting because one of the things that I took a photo of while I was there was the passenger's notice on the inside of the cab. Obviously, it's in Mandarin, but there's also a section in English.
And another one in a lemon, and another one in an orange.
Now. This is... I got it.
I got it.
Now, one of the things that you can actually say that if you don't want to pay is if the driver spits. So you actually don't have to... You won't have to pay if the driver spits outside the window. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. But this can he spit and pretend it's him?
Possibly.
Can he spit on him?
Oh, that goes down well.
Could you spit in his mouth so that he spits it out?
Actually, I saw that in a video today.
I think I saw that in a video as well. Brazilian perhaps.
No, it's French.
French, nice. Yeah. Now, what actually, because I took
this... You'd know that, wouldn't you, Pete?
I did. Oui. Now, I took this photo.
Actually,
now,
ironically enough, I know.
These are the things that you're not permitted to do in a cab. Passengers are not allowed to carry with them contraband goods.
Right. Sure.
Which, funnily enough, is three quarters of China.
Yep.
Why would you say that when outside the cab it's probably the same law? Any laws that you're probably governed by in the cab,
you shouldn't commit murder inside the cab.
It's probably redundant listing them. Like, you wouldn't put something like, you know, you cannot kill someone in a cab because it inherits the laws of the real country. We are doing a show here.
Yeah, I know.
Yet half of our people are waving at the people in the next thing.
I'm not waving, I'm being asked something, and I don't speak French.
Well, let's stop. Right, what do you want? What?
You two can continue without me.
All right. All right. So, the interesting things here was you're not allowed to carry contraband goods, not allowed to smoke, spit, or to dump inside taxi.
Oh, really?
So you can't take a dump inside the taxi.
But you can dump outside the taxi.
You can dump, without
doubt. You like step out and just...
Oh, they have dump platoons. So, they've got the spittoon,
and then the dump tune.
Can you imagine how many people are at home now listening?
Yeah.
They listen to your travels, and, you know, they've planned their they planned their tour of where
Shanghai, yep.
Shanghai. And they're thinking, oh, I don't really want to go.
No, not after what Pete talks about.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to dump inside taxis. The next line, of course, is, and this is the exact translation. It says, psychos or drunkards are prohibited to take taxis.
Yeah.
Be sure to check your belongings when you get off.
Do you have to have a license to be a psycho?
I don't know.
I mean, you have to be committed?
I think you
or
do.
Or is it just in a general sort of, oh, he's a bit of a psycho?
There was another cab that said, psychos or people with schizophrenic diseases.
Right.
So they were a lot more specific about level of mental illness that you might have.
They would probably have to carry a license for schizophrenia.
They would have to carry a license for schizophrenia, you would assume. But the interesting thing there, of course, is that the taxi drivers themselves...
Yes.
Are not bound
by these rules.
Are not bound by these rules, and they are,
so
in fact...
they can take a dump in their own cab.
They can take a dump in their own cab.
Free.
Though I tell you what, the worst cab I was in Shanghai...
Mm-hmm.
Apart from the cab
the guy
driver,
had taken a dump in the cab.
No, the cab driver basically hocked loogies out probably 5-6 times.
Yep, good.
So 5-6 worth of loogie.
Forgot the window was down.
Straight out. Windows
were down.
No, he forgot my window was down.
Yeah,
was the problem. So hocked a few loogies, yelled a lot of abuse at various people, nearly got us killed 3 times, which was exceptional. But my personal favourite was that he was eating something that I thought resembled rotten dog.
Yes.
On a stick.
Yes, again.
Rotten dog.
Again, maybe he's taken a dump in the cab.
Quite possibly. Maybe he went to scat.
Maybe he did.
Or he was wearing some
Shisa
underwear. Yeah. And with that, we shall be back.
Another of Pete's Travel Adventures.
And so I just told her that was the way it should go, and, you know...
Walk in the Black Forest, 2888.5 FM. We don't take dumps in cabs.
Well,
no, we don't.
I wouldn't necessarily say
but
that.
But we're not adverse to sticking the odd thing on a stick.
We stick dog on stick.
Lovely. I'd love to hear that.
Can I actually just briefly, just before you do,
yes.
Say that big hello to Alex, the former...
you know, this Black Forest. Is like the 5th week in a row... that you said hello to Alex.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because he is currently, for the next 3 months, residing in Nanjing.
Really?
In China.
Wow. Well, at least he won't get arrested for
He's the director of studies at TAFE Nanjing.
Yep.
It's true.
Way.
He is. Director of studies at TAFE Nanjing.
To our podcast.
And he's going to be planning to listen to our podcast.
Wow.
So, hello, Alex. And, yes, we will talk about politics, you tool.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
That's unbelievable.
There we go. And I will in the next couple of weeks give
his hair's grown back.
I don't know. I'll give everyone a link to Alex's blog that he's going to do about being a teacher in Nanjing.
Is so it funny?
It's Alex, so it'll either be
nice
written.
No.
Exactly. There's your answer. You have your answer?
I think that'll be good. Yeah. I'm good on him, mate.
Why would Alex listen to our show?
Well, it's either that
when
or the 47
conservative.
Either that or the 47 channels of Chinese TV.
Oh, come on. Now,
surely you'd have some recommendations.
Yeah, I told him to eat dog on a stick.
Yeah.
Knowing
his
penchant for Asian ladies, he's going to be in paradise.
What about, say, think you can hoof lung dung?
Exactly.
That's on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I don't think so, no. I didn't see that on... what channel? Right. Do you remember what channel?
No, I can't remember.
Okay, you make it up, shut.
The Tiananmen Affair is on every...
That's actually funny.
He's been working at it. That was only his 46th idea.
That's very good.
Yeah, now he's getting better.
Okay, now, as you may know, the US presidential election is currently on. You may be keeping tabs on it. Not too sure if you are. Good on you. Obama's currently looking particularly good. They're very neck and neck, though. Really, you'd have to put it pretty
Did
much...
Did you just edit out the phrase where you just said, I told you so?
No. No, I've decided not to say it.
So does that mean all three of us have got I told you so this evening?
Yes, I think we all do. What's Pete's I told you so?
I didn't. Did I have one?
Wasn't that one then?
We both had an I told you so.
No, it's his I told you so. I lose everything.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
No, he had. No, he didn't have any.
That's right.
I had John Howard in a sweepstake.
No, you did. You had one.
You had
the Obama thing.
Yeah. I know I had one. I'm not Pete. That's him.
And in the Republican race.
No, you just said you didn't have one.
Republican race, I had Ron Paul.
You did.
I had Ron Paul.
You had Ron Paul in the third.
I know.
Yeah, just...
just gone.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to it, shall we?
Yep.
It's 50-50 at the moment. There's two very definitive camps.
Mm-hmm. The Clintons, who've been there, done that, love to take payoffs. Go the Clintons, right? That's what they do. Go to war. Let's pretend we're not conservatives, but actually we are. Mm. And then you have...
Make sure you highlight all the negative sides, eh?
Yeah,
Sorry, what's the positive of the Clintons?
They've done it before.
And they did it so well.
They did.
Did they? Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, history will judge him as one of the greatest presidents in American history.
Well, actually, if you look at his record environmentally, he did very badly. In fact, he actually logged and did more environmentally negative things to the American economy.
Let's put George W. Bush.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
George W. Bush.
Bill Clinton.
Well, let's put the other George
so
Bush.
Let's
or the other George Bush.
Bill Clinton.
I'm just saying.
Other Ronald George Reagan.
I'm
Ronald
just
Reagan,
saying Bill that Clinton. There's a lot of revision.
Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon.
Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, exactly. Gerald Ford.
Gerald
Abraham
Ford.
Lincoln.
You might
have. JFK. Fucking gave up early.
Exactly.
What a loser.
Yeah, exactly.
What a loser.
Can't stand the heat? Get out of the kitchen.
Exactly. Or like his brother. His brother went into the kitchen and got shot.
Eisenhower. How many people did he have to kill?
Yeah. Truman. Come on.
Well.
How many people did Truman kill?
Yeah. Many. Not as many as Eisenhower. Oh, but still, many. And not as many as LBJ.
And then there's LBJ.
Actually, who has the highest death toll as a president?
Am I the only person who thinks, when you think LBJ, Lyndon Crazy Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
The hell are you talking about? It sounds like a comet of glue.
So, the Clinton camp, where there is the greatest president in modern history.
Look,
we've just proved it to you.
I'm sorry.
Name a greater president in the last 60 years.
That's probably a bit too far, Pete.
I
don't know if I want to...
Okay, JFK maybe?
No, I'm just saying, there's been a lot of revisionism about Clinton. There's been a lot of revisionism and people, he was a good president. Because, of course,
well,
they compared
him to Bush. Well,
if
there was, it started 6 months after he got out. And I don't really call that revisionism.
Of course, it's the same revision as you'll have with Howard. When in 6 months' time, people will be going, he did bad things, but, you know, he did some great things for the country. It'll happen. Wait till his book comes out. It'll be the revisionism. I just think that, I know the media always talks about Clinton being,
But keep in mind that when Clinton first got in, I know the environment and things are important and all that sort of stuff, but global warming, still at that sort of leadership level, sort of international politics level, wasn't believed to be real because all the scientists were telling them that's not the case.
Yeah, but that's not... I understand what you're saying, but Al Gore's been saying this for 15 years.
Al Gore.
Al Gore,
the most right-wing...
Yeah, now, bear with me. I'm not a fan of Al Gore. I'm saying that 15 years ago, he went on Donahue and told everyone how it's all about the environment and this, that, and the other, and all this, pre-being part of the government, pre-being any of that kind of stuff like that. So actually, it was on the horizon. It's easy for us to say, we didn't know about it, etc., etc. But actually, there were people who knew about it.
I'm not saying there were people who knew about it. I'm just saying, at a policy level, no countries were really doing it.
Apart from the Scandinavians.
They don't do it because they can't do anything else.
There's too much ice and they're cold.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I'm cold, what are you going to do?
And how can you make IKEA when there's water running through the factory?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You can't do it.
How do you water your pine?
Water. It ruins the pine.
That's Holland, you idiot.
Oh, what? I was wondering. I'm always curious about Holland. It's a strange country. I don't know much about it.
Oh, my God. I want to go home. Okay.
Ice, edible water.
So, you've got the two camps so far in the Democrats, right? Very tight race in the Democrats so far.
You've got the dress-wearing Obama.
The dress-wearing Obama.
Yes.
And
he's a terrorist.
He's a terrorist. And a Muslim.
And the
yes, he's a Muslim terrorist.
Testicle-wearing.
Oh, that's
Clinton.
Regarded, isn't it? He's just a Muslim.
Yeah.
Well, I've no idea what you two are talking about, so I'm just going to randomly
That's
keep
the
going.
Reason why the dress picture came out. The argument was that it was to muddy the waters, the belief that people think he's a Muslim.
Right.
Because a Muslim in America, there have been thousands of both academic and non-academic surveys that have equated the word Muslim to terrorist.
Mm.
Americans believe the word Muslim means terrorist.
Yes.
Well, it does.
In America. in other countries, it might mean hero.
Mm.
Or it might mean just a person who thinks differently.
Yes,
which
or actually believes in the Islamic faith.
Mm, exactly.
Could
right.
also mean that as well.
So my point being that the reason that picture came out was because they were trying to muddy the waters. Now, his father is actually Muslim, but he was raised Catholic.
Yes.
But funnily enough, I think there's part of this is to insulate him if he will. I think I suspect he will win. Oh, he will lose to McCain.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, because Nader's in the race now.
That's my fucking point!
Sorry.
So I've been trying to build up this thing for 20 fucking minutes.
And I just knock it down like a house of cards. So, what's the big point, dude?
No, keep going. I'm interested because I didn't see, you know, all I heard was Pete throwing about 50 ideas and one of them managed to stick. So I'd like you to...
I have no idea what's going on 50? Right now. I'm completely fucking lost.
Then
I'm swore again. Shut up, Abe.
Take control. Grab.
How can you swear again and only put a one next to it?
No, because I put her on Pete's instead of mine. It's just...
No wonder he wins everywhere. No wonder he wins everywhere.
Yes, I know.
So what's going to happen? Obama's going to lose against McCain, you reckon?
No, McCain, you've done it again. No. I don't think so.
Isn't that what Pete just said?
Because I think there's a generational thing with McCain and anyone else. Because McCain's 75, but he thinks he's 90.
Sure.
So it's a generational thing. Point being, is you've got... Where should I start? How about at the beginning? I might just press stop. Oh, no.
Just edit out my whole bit.
So you've got Obama and Clinton, and now you've got Nader.
Yes.
So Nader comes
in... The perennial spoiler.
Exactly. Ralph Nader is the perennial spoil sport. It's what he does. He waits till the campaign's going along, sees whether you could possibly do something, jumps in, divides the vote, and then destroys the election for everybody else. What a frickin' genius he is.
See, the thing, my opinion about Nader... is I think there's three things about Nader. One, he's a raving egomaniac,
yes,
in my opinion.
Yes.
He's driven by his legacy, which happens to be mandatory seatbelts, which, yes, has saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Important. Number two, I have a sneaking suspicion he likes when the Republicans are in power because it shows a sharp contrast with him.
Oh, it's a good point.
It puts him in a more... he is the liberal icon. Mm. They drag him onto TV shows to talk about it. His power is higher when there's a wedge, wedging him away from the Democrats. And I think the third thing is he just seems to believe that the Democrats aren't real enough. They're not, you know...
Which could be true.
They're not OG enough.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, McG, over there in the chair.
No, McC.
Oh, McC.
Yes. McCain, done it again.
Oh, God. Anyway.
He's hip to the new breed.
They'd be MC Ayn.
MC Ayn, yes.
I suppose we've got some...
He didn't find that funny.
A bit of backstory, because...
Yeah, I wouldn't.
In a lot of the key electorates, I'm using the term electorates, I know that's wrong. In the last US election, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Nader took enough votes away from only the Democrats, so we're talking Gore and Kerry.
Yeah.
Enough votes away from Gore and Kerry that both of them lost. None of them actually got, particularly in Florida. They couldn't get enough ground because Nader was taking anywhere from between 5% and 12%. Out of their vote.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount when you talk about a very close election.
There's many people who believe that Nader clearly cost Gore the 2000 election.
Absolutely.
Kerry was more perennially damaged, I think, by the negative campaigning by the Republicans,
fair.
the whole Swift boat affair, American Swift boat pilots for justice or whatever they were called.
Yeah. It was made up.
Yeah, but that hurt him, particularly in places like Ohio, which are big swing states.
Mm.
But, yeah, no, definitely Gore could lose entirely because of Ralph Nader.
Good.
And if there's the possibility... Yeah, well,
George
not
W. Bush versus Gore?
I'd take Bush.
I'd take Gore.
Are you
take
Bush, kidding me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I hate Gore. I hate him with a passion. I hate everything he stands for and everything he's ever done.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but why else? No, but let's be honest, you hate his wife.
Yeah, I do.
You hate his wife, not him.
Well, I hate him, because he loves his wife.
He might not.
He may not.
Well...
He might be getting some serious fans.
Well, all the more reason not to like him.
But if he hates his wife, then you should like him.
I don't like the way everyone paints him as a freaking hero. He was never a hero.
But he would have been a better president than George W. Bush.
Well,
George W. Bush was just, as you know,
continuing
a legacy.
My dead dog Brutus would be a better president.
The great thing about George Bush, apart from the fact that he's completely unpredictable, you never know what he's going to do because he's an idiot. This time he will get voted out, and the Democrats will get in, and somebody who actually is probably understands what's supposed to happen in an American society will get in charge. And actually do something. Whereas if Al Gore got in, who knows what would have happened? You know, we would have switched. We would have probably been switching back to the Republicans now.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, dude. what you've just said is that we should retain the ruling class and the status quo, because when someone new comes in, we don't know what they're going
to
do.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
So what you said was, it's better to have someone who's familiar and who's done it before.
No, because the way... The majority of Americans now understand that George Bush is an idiot.
Yes.
Right? You've got your hardcore right, but apart from
that... But the people who
the
run
mainstream
him
is thinking,
are nuts.
Yeah, sure. The mainstream are thinking, right...
Time for a change.
Time for a change.
Yep.
Plus...
Language of change.
Plus...
I'm more changed than him. She's more changed than her.
War is wrong.
Yep.
Peace is right.
Yep.
Multiculturalism is okay.
Yep.
It's better than not liking black people.
Yep. And universal healthcare really important.
The environment's important.
Yep.
Healthcare.
Yep.
You know... All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The planet is moving forward. This is I've felt the most positive about this planet. And you know me, Pete. Yeah. I am the most negative person about the future of this planet ever.
I know.
Right?
I know.
But I'm starting to feel like the planet is moving forward.
Feel the sunshine.
And the good thing is, if Gore had gotten in, right, he would be one of those legacy governments that we're trying to get rid of or push forward from. Look at Blair, right?
So in other words, basically what you're saying is we had to have, in some senses, to paraphrase Paul Keating, George Bush is the president we had to have.
No, he's the president we had to have ahead of Al Gore.
See,
so look, like Edwards, Kerry, any of those guys, I would have been happy to get him, but not Al Gore.
Yeah, was that a personal thing or a policy thing?
Half of personal.
Dude!
So this is where we'd be
right
now.
Just because you're in a bar in Washington, you bought him a drink and he didn't put out. All of that!
We would have gotten to this election, and we wouldn't really know whether it would swing to the Democrats, because they'd already be in right now. Right?
But that's the way. We wouldn't have the war in Iraq. We wouldn't have the war in Afghanistan.
We probably would have.
Why?
Because it was US policy at the time, and the President of the United States wasn't going to make a difference. George Bush has made a difference, probably, in regard to increasing troop numbers and all that sort of bullshit that's going on. But they would not have not gone. Clinton went.
Yeah, but Clinton went in a different war, though. And Clinton, when the first bombing happened and the USS Cole happened, when all that stuff was... Oh, not the Cole, that was afterwards. But when all of that...
Are you saying Gore wouldn't have gone to Iraq?
I don't think they would have made the connection with Iraq.
Let's not say Iraq. Let's say Afghanistan.
Oh, they would have gone to Afghanistan,
yes.
Gone
in the shadow of 9/11.
Yes,
they would have gone to Afghanistan, without
a doubt. But I don't think they would have gone to Iraq.
You don't think?
No.
You don't think?
Yeah, I really don't think. I think Iraq is a bugbear of the Republicans.
Don't overestimate the power of George Bush.
More particularly, though, it's not a bugbear of George Bush. It's a bugbear of Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And
Dick Cheney
John Ashcroft,
wouldn't have been in the ruling class.
Paul Wolfowitz and I've forgotten his name now. That's how little I care about him.
Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, him.
I agree that there would have been some kind of conflict, but look at the way that Clinton looked at the original bombing of the World Trade Center.
And the Yemeni... Yemen.
Sure. Yeah, the Yemen embassy bombing.
He didn't invade
a country. They did surgical strikes. They did stuff like that. They did not continue an ongoing campaign. But when you look about it, really was war for oil. And I'm not saying that there wouldn't necessarily have been a war for oil. I just don't think there would have been this full-scale invasion of Iraq.
I just think that's a little bit naive to think that George Bush... is the only one that would have done it.
No, it's not him. It's the people who also work with his dad. See, it's the same
people.
Yeah,
I know, but, you know...
The only person that isn't the same is General Schwarzkopf, and that's because he's off washing his hair.
The amount of Americans who are wanting Saddam blood, regardless of how much they beat it up...
Hmm.
They would have got in, regardless whether it was Republicans or Democrats.
It just wasn't something that was on the agenda. It wasn't on the radar. They had to make something up to get the public opinion.
Sure. I know all this crap, right? I've been spouting it as long as you guys have, right? But I find it a bit hard to believe that if the Democrats had got in, we would have never gone to Iraq. Saddam Hussein would still be there. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, but you think about it, the Americans turned their back on the Kurds and the southern Iraqis because they didn't want another conflict. Their troops were already there, and they turned their back. There was continued abuses, they didn't go back. There was weapons of mass destruction, they didn't, well, they said they were.
But what you're saying, if the Democrats had got in, we wouldn't have gone to Iraq, is that right?
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
That's what
I personally believe that, yes.
You really believe
that? I do.
Okay, well, I can't argue that, because that's your opinion, and you know,
to be honest,
it's wrong.
I think
I wasn't going to say that. I mean, it is wrong, but I'm not going to say it.
I also think there would have been a different approach to Pakistan as well. I think it would have been Afghanistan.
You're Yankee
and
lovers, is what you are.
How the living in hell am I a Yankee lover? I'm simply saying, but I don't believe that that's the approach they would have taken. I still would have been
just
anti-
because I had sex with the same lobbyist that allegedly had sex with John McCain.
If we don't
just because McCain and I. We share a lobbyist.
MCA.
If we don't
MCA
bring,
it is.
If we didn't bring, don't bring his wife home, the both of us won't be able to sit for a week. Honestly.
Sorry, neither of you are my types. MCA, though.
Yeah.
Wooshka. Anyway.
So, my point being, Raiders in the...
Raiders of the Lost Ark is coming back. Raiders, new movie.
Raiders in the Nace. And
I think it's a damn good time for George Bush to be a Republican president. I think it is the time for him to come to the end of his second term. I think it's a fantastic
well,
term.
Well, I mean, he has to. I mean,
well, that then
Bush
leads
has
us
to leave.
That leads us.
I know, but
I just
you know,
don't think it'll be McCain.
That leads us, though.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I think this
that's
is the only
saying.
Way it will be McCain
okay,
if he
that's
has
what
someone
I'm saying.
To
this,
the
this,
I'm saying.
This leads us to a very important discussion, which is about Obama, because right. Obama, just before I actually just reminded myself, there is actually a small piece of article that came out a couple of days ago, or a couple of weeks ago, that said that Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth has backed Obama, and someone said that if Obama gets elected, he's 8 years younger than Kim Gordon. Now,
Oh, no!
Which is an interesting point. Now...
That being said,
Obama,
Mick Jagger
yeah.
is older than Boris Yeltsin.
That's true.
And Boris Yeltsin's dead.
He's dead. Now, we've got a situation at the moment where we've got Obama ahead on delegates. There is the spectre of superdelegates, of course, who can choose who they want to vote for. By the way, is Bill Clinton.
Oh, really?
He's a superdelegate because he's a former president.
That's unfair.
But that's just the way the Republicans have always, Democrats have always done it.
You Clinton lover. You're a Clinton lover.
So at the moment, Obama's had 7 straight wins in 7 straight states. Clinton is behind by about 35 and a half delegates because she picked up a half delegate from Democrats abroad, which is all the Australians and all that sort of stuff. Now, the big two states coming up, of course, are Ohio, is that correct? And Texas. They're the two big states that she's hoping to win to get some momentum back. And of course, she's well regarded in Texas. What this has done, and there's a lot of discussion about this, and it has been entirely superficial, there's been no detailed discussion about it, is that the issue of what is Obama standing for?
Change.
At the moment, that's all he says. Yeah. Change. I stand for change.
No. A lot of people are saying that's all he stands for, but his policies are fairly transparent if you go to his website. If you look at his website and look at what he's saying, he's actually talking about... It's almost like a Ruddian. Do you like that? A Ruddian.
Nice, eh?
Not a Ruddockian. That's a different Rudd.
Yeah, sure.
A Rudd-style vision of things being different.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably really hard to encapsulate in a campaign where you look at... You know, you look at policies and you look at little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But he's looking at, from what I can tell anyway, a completely different approach between the executive branch, so the government, and the people. So at the moment, you've got the executive branch and the people and the other, whatever the other branch is called of the government, I've forgotten. And they're all you know, separate from the people. And I think his point is that it should be government for the people. And that's the idea. And I know it's wanky and all that kind of thing, but no one's really been saying that for a long time.
Now, here's the other side.
As opposed to Kennedy, and he's dead.
Will the states in the South that are swing states, there's about 5 swing states, one of which is Florida.
Yeah.
Will those states... I mean, the issue is always going to be that the more conservative voter who is still swinging...
Mm.
They're in a situation where they actually have to choose from the Democrat side between a woman and a black man.
Yep.
Now, we're talking America here, and we know that from our own experience, Americans, there are a bundle, quite millions of tolerant, you know, good-thinking Americans.
They're the ones they export.
They're the ones that either don't vote in many instances because they don't think their vote actually counts.
Yep.
Because they're often in states that are going to go Democrat. Or Republican, always do, always will, never change.
And that's an interesting point that you raise there as well, because since Obama's entered the race, there has been a massive jump in enrollment of blacks and Latinos and ethnic minorities in America enrolling to vote.
Yeah, but will that...
Whether they're voting against him or for him, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter because, you know, the election will be rigged in a way that the black people can't vote.
Yeah, of course.
Which has always been the case. The Republicans have been doing that for years.
If you've ever been to jail, you can't vote.
Or, as we know, in Chicago, was it Chicago or was it Florida, that 30,000 people were wiped from the electoral roll for this election because they hadn't voted since 2004, when there was the last election.
Isn't that terrible?
And, of course, then you've got the you've got the American voting machines that don't work.
Yes. Sure. Why they can't just tick a box, I don't know.
I don't know. Look, as you know, I've always had I've laid my hat next to Hillary.
You have?
My hat's for Hillary. It's my own organisation.
Oh, yes, nice. I like that. Hats for Hillary. Yep. What's your organisation? Bats for Obama?
I'm going to work on it. I'll work on it.
And you can have fries for McCain. Now...
Not even going for McCain.
From what he said before, I think he actually is going for fries for McCain.
I want one of your hats. That's what I want.
Have a hat next to Hillary. See, I think Hillary is the best chance get out of its doldrums.
But would she be a good president? I don't think so, because she spends her entire life, oh, I'm going to lose this primary. I'll cry.
Well, we'll find out when I start my new campaign, Cramps for Clinton.
What in the Black Forest?
Cramps for Clinton, my
This is the Welcome Back Forest, which is 88.5 FM.
You wait till you see the badge.
Which is where we are. Which is where we sit. However, our identity, our being, our centre.
What the frig you on about?
Sits on our website, which is www.walkblackforest.org.
Yeah, nice little multi-level delivery there, Pete.
I made a thing, didn't I?
Did you make a stab
Abe
for
made
that?
A thing. That's the news for the week. Abe made a thing.
Abe's been making things for years. Things and things and things.
Can I say that some of the things that Abe has made for me are still sitting on my fridge?
Are they?
Every now and again, my cat will come up and smash it onto the floor.
Ah, bloody cat.
And I'll just pick it back up, put it back on the fridge.
Excellent.
Awesome.
I've got no idea what you're talking about. I'm lost.
Actually, the things I made for him are smashed. I've seen them.
No, they're still in my office.
See, you do have a clue. I said it just to lure you.
Ah, those ones. Now I know what you're talking about.
I want to know what happened to the team one that I've never seen.
I've got that still in my office.
Exactly. That's my
point. And what's even cooler is that now I've got a glow-in-the-dark Mary in the middle of it.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's very
She's
clever.
Joined the team. She sits over in the corner, can't you see her? There's a big apparition.
Did you run that bias? Because it was for the team.
She's for
and
the
I've
team.
I've never seen
her.
Maybe we should rotate.
She's always been for the team.
I'm sorry. If anyone took one for the team, it was Mary. She took one for the team from God.
I was waiting. She did,
were you
actually.
Probably,
right.
She did.
Hey, wow.
She was just riding along on a donkey.
Hey, biblical reference. That was true.
We have to explain this, because usually I don't mind doing 30 seconds of something the audience has absolutely no freaking idea what we're doing. Like the fact that Abe has a red knob.
Exactly.
Pete has a yellow knob. And Richard has a... pretty worn black knob.
Yep. Fair enough. So
I'm busy, Pete's maybe have the plague, and yours has just dropped off.
Yes, there is
elastic bands on. He's been mulesed.
Oh, I don't want to know.
So can I explain what the baking things is, Abe? Because you've never mentioned it on air,
ever. I don't
ever.
Think you should.
I think it's far enough away now that you can probably mention it.
I think it was 10 years ago, I think it's cool.
But I dine off you. I dine off you. Yeah, oh, I do.
Is that in that Japanese way, like when you eat sushi thing. Off his naked body?
Interestingly enough, no one wrote in saying I should be a stand-up comic. No one.
Oh, damn it, I didn't turn it on. Resonance.
That was a tribute to Sonic Youth.
Abe used to make things, that's it.
He used to make things.
I wish I could say more, but I'm not allowed to.
Involves wire, coils.
I have a very angry and dangerous looking man staring at me saying, don't tell
anyone.
And
14 buckets of latex.
Oh, no, that was on the weekend.
No,
that was good.
Again, I want to see the one that was team.
Sure, I'll bring it in next week.
No, you won't.
And then you'll take it away again.
Now, just briefly.
I bet mine's been vandalised, has it?
Have you got material? Got something to do?
I got something to do.
But if you want to
do bits and pieces, can I talk just ever so briefly? How long we got, Abe? What's the time? What's the time for the audience who's listening in a non-time zone, time-shifted sort of...
Isn't that a bit mean, then?
Yep.
Right. Okay. Yep. It's about that.
Yeah, good.
Good, fantastic. Yeah. Aren't we meant to tell the time? Isn't that a legal broadcasting requirement that we have to say
it's
the time?
It's 11:40.
Thank you, Abe.
Those, of course, listening to the terrestrial edition.
Won't give a fucking...
The non-DRM free.
Yes.
Oh, DRM.
DRM.
We're going to talk about that.
I can go with you.
I'm looking forward to the DRM product that Sony's putting inside their Blu-ray players. Because you know they will.
No, they won't.
Oh, won't they?
Well, they might not. But,
of course they will.
Well, hey, Tashi were doing it as well.
They're the one and only.
That's why.
Mm. I haven't really got much, other than a couple of little things. The Rudd government is looking at implementing the UK system of three strikes, you're out for downloading.
Yep.
So basically,
at ISP level, of course.
At ISP level. The ISPs will check their ports for non-encrypted traffic, because if it's encrypted, they have no freaking idea.
Yep.
In non-encrypted traffic, and if it's songs that are registered by the copyright owner, so the record companies would have to say, this is the MD5 or whatever, the key signature of this particular song.
Yep.
If they detect that,
the
government is told,
big
pigs in boots come to your house.
And put a big cross on your head.
They do.
One.
Like on noughts and crosses.
Yeah, just one and big cross.
Three strikes in a row.
You get a line through.
You're out.
Yep.
So you get three warnings. So the beauty of this system is, you can pirate whatever you want.
Yep. Until you get caught.
Until you get caught.
So start downloading now.
Oh, yes.
And at that point, the interesting thing is, if you turn it around, you then find out that they've been watching you.
Yeah.
Never in any other democracy is there a situation where the people spying on you tell you that they're watching you. Yep. I see this as a good thing.
Yes, I think so.
So you've got as much pirated stuff as you can.
Yep.
You're not sort of, there's no fines, no retribution, no, so to speak. Yep. Nothing at all. Yep. And they say,
just a big mark on your head.
And by the way, we were watching you.
Yep.
So straight away you're thinking, right, now you can make some informed choices about what you want to do.
Yeah.
And of all the different informed choices that you could make, the most significant informed choice that you could make is to fucking download more.
Yeah.
Because you get two strikes.
Right, yes.
So you download as much as you can up until the second strike.
The boots come in.
Another black mark.
Yeah.
And then
the first one's faded a little bit, but not too much.
Yes. And then finally,
you wash a little bit.
Finally, what you do is...
Isn't there something on the second, though? Is there some sort of, like, you get a letter or something
they
to say...
They restrict your bandwidth.
They restrict your bandwidth or something? There's some sort of, like...
Oh, I don't know. They probably shape you.
Shape you, yeah.
On the third strike...
I wanted to be shaped. I need to actually fit into a size 12.
I think they shave your pubes.
But on the so once you've gotten your second strike...
Is that what Helen Coonan's doing now? He's blushing again. He's blushing again. You can see it.
Do you
he's blushing
blush?
Again.
Yeah.
Blush?
Yeah, blushing.
Do you really want to
see that?
No, I
want to
see
a blush. No. Once you've got your second strike, and you've downloaded pretty much every movie and song in the planet.
Yep.
Or on the planet, even. Yeah. Or above the planet.
Yeah. And are selling them.
And the stuff that's actually going to be released in 3 years.
So, yes.
You've already got that.
So, once you've done all of that, and you've got your second strike, then what you're supposed to do...
Yeah.
Is only download and not upload, because they only monitor the upload.
Ah, okay.
Yes, because if you're sharing, you're uploading.
Ah, so you're basically...
BitTorrent's a bit of an issue, but in other sites where you're mainly just downloading...
Yep.
Like Kazaa, you mean?
Some of the news articles have say, oh, you'll be for downloading songs, but it's all uploading. All the ones in the US, the ones brought down by the RIA, are people uploading songs.
Yes, they think that's the equivalent of getting the dealer in drugs. That's what they think. They think get the dealer, not the user.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But it also doesn't. It makes sure they don't fly close to the provisions of the Copyright Act that allow you to make personal copies and stuff like that.
Format shifting.
Which hasn't been tested in court.
And they don't want to test it
in court. They don't want to test it in court because they know they can get the uploaders.
Yep.
So once you've got your second strike,
keep downloading. just turn off the upload.
Yeah, you just have to be careful on BitTorrent.
Yeah, because there are a few share ratio issues.
All that sort of stuff. But apart from that, you're fine. Now, once you've
I know what you can do on BitTorrent. You actually only share things that are copyright free.
You are a legend. Or, as what I do, I share a public domain font.
Correct. Yes. You share things.
Can I tell you what I share on Kazaa?
Is it legal?
It's a picture that says Pokemon fun. And it's actually a picture of Sailor Moon being fucked by a cat.
Nice.
Now, I don't share or...
That's not legal.
I don't download or upload
music. It's a cartoon.
I don't download or share or upload music or any of that sort of stuff, because I don't actually break the law in that way. But if I was to do that, I would probably get a lot of people interrupting my download saying, oh, mate, that's not fair. You've got to upload as much as you download.
Yep.
And then I would maybe if I was doing that, turn around and say, what the fuck are you talking about? You're pirating to begin with, so don't tell me what I have to do, you stupid git.
You criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
You criminal.
Is what I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say that too.
I'd say, where's the law that says I have to give you fucking anything, you pirating little dickhead?
And you would have noticed that it was CC'd to enforcement at RIAA.org.
Exactly. Yes. With a little subscript that says, now give me your fucking song.
Yes, exactly right. Yes.
So,
love Ralph Nader.
That is probably the only scary thing, seriously. Well, the only scary thing about the Rudd government is that they're actually thinking about doing this. And they were doing it. They did announce it before. You interviewed them.
Yeah, you know, Conway said it in the interview with us.
And
that he
we were even
put,
concerned about it at the time that they really didn't understand what they were doing.
Because he wants to put on ISP-level filtering. ISP-level filtering.
And it is very scary. The ISPs are going to fight this tooth and nail.
Of course they will.
Because it is their core income.
Because in Australia, as we know, we're one of the very few countries in the world that have download limits and massively ratcheted scales based on download limits, not based on bandwidth. Because if you go to most of Europe, your pay scale, what you pay on your broadband charges are on the speed of the broadband.
Oh.
The faster it is, the more you pay. Here, of course, we pay on the size of our download limit.
Is that true?
Yes. Well, certainly true in the Netherlands. I can only speak about Holland.
Dutch. Well, I'm quite happy to extrapolate.
Interesting enough or not...
And I'm pretty sure it's actually true in France and Germany as well.
Yeah, right. Actually, the French, you know, they're like... Mm. They smell like urine and cigarettes.
Mm. Whereas in the US, it's neither.
No, they've
you
got...
You pay a flat fee and you can use whatever you want as fast as you want.
Exactly.
Really?
Well, give or take.
But we are one of the few countries in the world that have download limits.
Yeah, Telstra.
Yeah.
Telstra, it's all Telstra.
Yeah. So for ISPs, that's their bread and butter. These people who have high download limits.
I don't know about you, but most people who file share will use up to their limit.
Yeah.
Because they just let it run up to their limit. And people were to drop out all their file transfer bandwidth, they'd all drop down to the cheapest accounts with the ISPs.
Yep. Which is where they're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the trouble is ISP level filtering, and correct me if I'm wrong, is in some senses similar to the yellow brick road. It's a bit of a fantasy land,
and it's got a line on it.
It's from my understanding, and I only have heard this from ACMA, I think, or was someone in government, was that they believe ISP level filtering and ISP level monitoring is possible. But they don't have the technology yet.
Yes.
That's my understanding.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case.
Certainly I remember some government department talking about that. It's there's a lot of stuff happening in government and communications at the moment, which is, yes, we're going to move to digital radio, for example, but the technology to move everybody hasn't been invented yet.
Yes. And of course they're doing digital radio 2 now.
And digital radio Mondiale, which doesn't even exist.
Yes. I mean, it's technically possible to implement filtering. I mean, it's technically possible now to do filtering on certain ports on the internet, but that just means everybody will move to different ports. But it's also technically possible to build the software that will monitor all the incoming and outcoming data through each ISP and match that against, copyrighted works. Because, I mean, we've got software that allows you to download and upload. Yeah. The filtering software is exactly the same thing.
But my question
is, on a larger scale,
how much processing and storage power would be required to monitor every byte of non-encrypted internet traffic going through Australia?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, you'd need a computer the size of Ayres Rock.
Well, not necessarily, because I mean, you can take a signature. I mean, if a song's like how big is a normal song?
Three or four meg.
3 meg is going through. You can build what is called like an MD5 or some sort of key.
Yeah.
It's a representation of
what that
song 3
like.
Meg.
Yeah.
But in a couple of bytes. So the storage doesn't have to be that big. You basically just take a check
next question
of each one.
Doesn't BitTorrent destroy that? Because BitTorrent comes down in chunks rather than random chunks.
No, because it keeps a record of everything. It keeps a map of everything it's missing.
Oh, of course, because it downloads the torrent info.
And it's continually exchanging checksums with all the other clients to say, I haven't got this, you've got that, you've got this, that.
Yeah.
So it would have to track all that sort of stuff to make sure that... But then it comes to a bit of, you know, if you download 50% of a song, is that copyright breach?
Mm.
If you download 1% of a song?
Particularly on BitTorrent, where the song is unplayable. I mean, you could argue if you download 50% of the song and you can play 50% of the song and hear it, but if you're using BitTorrent, 50% of the song is actually unplayable.
Yeah, because it could be a little bit here.
Yeah, exactly
there,
right. So therefore, it's actually
I don't know. I think it's still a grey area, and that may be why they're hesitating to do it. But you know, it's not going to be easy to implement something that does that. But it's certainly technically possible.
Is this something that predates Labor as well? Is it something that like the Liberals have had? They had their eye on ice filtering.
They've talked about it. Yeah, they've definitely.
It's part of the. It's part of the change of the security changes anyway. If you look around the same time, say the end of 2005, beginning of 2006, when the sedition laws. That was one of the things I looked at exactly the same time.
It was ice filtering putting to trap people who are having internet traffic in swapping terrorist information blah blah blah.
Well,
in
the early days of Grok, which must have been like about 4 or 5 years ago. The Liberals were talking about it, but. They put it on the back burner because straight away the ISPs are going...
Yeah, but they didn't know what the internet was. They don't even know what the email...
What's an email?
Yeah.
And I guess sorry, you know, you go.
No, I was just going to say, it raises an interesting point, this three strikes thing. So you get one strike and then two strikes, and by the time you get... you're coming up to your third strike...
You've got to buy more blanks.
You've got to think to yourself... You've got to think to yourself, music, porn. Music, you've got to make the decision. You have to make the decision at that point.
Now, here's the question.
Come on, you've only got one strike left.
Downloading porn using BitTorrent.
Yes.
Is that a copyright infringement?
Yes, it is.
Who protects that copyright?
The company who made the film.
Okay. But in Australia, it's not so much a copyright infringement. It's actually
a privilege.
It's a classification infringement.
No, it's not.
Because that
no, it's only a classification if you show it.
No, it's a classification infringement to sell it as well.
Oh, yeah,
and
no,
distribute
true.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah, okay. But if you are on BitTorrent, you are distributing it.
If you're uploading, yes.
Yes, you are. You are distributing. So it's a classification infringement. So then,
yeah, it's interesting.
So then the OFLC
speaking
starts to
of
come
which,
into this.
This week or last week, they announced that there will be an R rating on games.
Yes, I saw that as well.
Which will open the floodgates for a whole bunch of games we haven't been able to get except by certain means, aforementioned. Yeah.
Or when you go to Bangkok.
Or when you go to Bangkok, like Pete does quite often.
Exactly.
And when he gets to Bangkok, Pete has to choose girls or boys.
Ford.
Girls or boys. And sometimes he just goes to the middle ground and gets both.
Well, the other thing is that...
Shemale Road Trip 9.
The four, apparently...
I love that DVD!
Apparently the four guys who operate and run Pirate Bay...
Yep.
Have they been subpoenaed? I can't
it's
remember.
It's the largest BitTorrent host, if you will. I'm going to use the word host.
Yeah, I've forgotten the term for it, yeah.
What's that?
Accumulator aggregator.
Yeah, say torrent aggregator.
Yeah. And they're in Sweden or Denmark or...
Yeah, I think they're in Amsterdam, actually.
And now they're in Amsterdam, are they?
I think they are.
Because I thought they were Nordic originally, so...
Anyway, it's up there somewhere.
It's up there in the north
somewhere. It's up there. One of those countries that Hitler had his eye on.
Yep.
And...
they're blonde.
Cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Because of the copyright laws in that particular country, they were effectively untouchable. As long as they weren't making a profit from it, you can pirate as much as you want,
exactly.
As long as you're not making money. So basically what this is basically saying is that they've made $160,000 or so on Google ads on the Pirate Bay site.
So therefore they're making a profit.
And that's the angle that they're using now.
So. Yeah, RIAA's had their eyes on the guys who run the Pirate Bay for years. There's been a number of documentaries put out about copyright and whatever else, most of which are, of course... ones are called Steal This Film, I think?
Yes.
Which has got a whole... Which has interviews the guys from Pirate Bay. In some senses, they're copyright anarchists, is probably the correct description for them.
Wow, that's hardcore.
They believe they're actually changing the landscape. They're actually not doing it for money. I think they've been caught on a technicality more than anything else.
Yeah, the problem is with them is they also believe that everything should be free.
That's hence the copyright
anarchists,
I guess.
And, you know, Culture and creativity then fails if that's the case.
Yeah, I've never believed the argument that everything should be free.
Just for me.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the argument of fair usage.
Yes.
And I'm a big believer in the argument that something else will take its place. An artist may not want, okay, if their CD's not available from a CD shop, people will still want to get music, and there are new models.
But record
companies are still stuck in the day where they're wearing cravats and smoking fat cigars.
Yeah.
But in actuality, I mean, if you think about it, if there was a free alternative to say, get this but not sell it, okay, so you could legally download but not in a good quality, not the best quality. So, for instance, say the record company brought out a CD, and they uploaded that CD, and you could download it at, say, 128K stereo, right? You could download it that, and you could listen to it. But if you really liked it, you'd want to buy the CD because it sounds a lot better. Same thing with movies. You'd have a lot smaller ratio. It'd be pixelated. It wouldn't look great. You could download it for free. But if you really liked it, then you go and buy it because you want it to look better.
That model exists because the distribution of the most recent Radiohead album was based almost exactly on the model you've talked about.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to the...
The music probably sounds just as shit either way, I would imagine.
Hey, steady on.
Oh, Fee's not listening, that's okay. Oh, no, she's going to download this. No, Radiohead sounds good.
The most overrated...
Muse.
They're both together.
Let's take the musical criticism from it.
Oh, yeah.
You downloaded the new album only at 160.
Okay.
Which is...
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when I listened to it, I noticed that it sounded really shit, apart from the musical criticism. I refused to actually listen to the album because it didn't sound good.
Well, you should hear it with the musical
criticism. Yeah, I know. Woof. Now, you could choose to pay for that. Three-quarters of the people paid under a quid. So, you know, $2.50 to get to sample it, effectively. Yep. They have now sold over 1 million copies of the deluxe £75 version, which had all the vinyl and extra CDs, which sounds, excluding musical criticism, better because it's obviously at the higher quality.
Yeah,
I reckon they wouldn't have sold 1 million copies of that had they have not done what you've said. Now, there is an argument by the record company Apachiks that have been hitting the main media discussions about this to say that the only band that could pull this off is a band as big as Radiohead, and they've got to thank for the millions of dollars that EMI gave them over the years to develop them, build them up, market them, and make them big enough to actually do this.
Load of crap.
There's a grain of truth to it, just a grain, is enough to make it actually seem like it's got some credibility.
But look at the bands that have done so well off MySpace. Look at those bands who you can easily add their songs to your profile. Sometimes you can download the music, and you can buy the albums off the site as well. So you may find a band you're like, so that's really freaking cool, and go and buy the CD, and that's happening more and more at independent record dealers, where they're actually having to import CDs, and even JB Hi-Fi, they have to import CDs from MySpace pages to fulfill the orders of their customers.
Look, let's be fair. Record stores are... an endangered species.
Yeah.
As they stand now, they are an endangered species. That means that unless they pull their asses into the fucking 21st century, record companies are going to be an equally endangered species. Because home recording,
and that should be
home distributing, it will replace it. It will overrun it just by sheer numbers. And this all they've got at the moment is they've got their finger in the dike, but there's 50 billion litres of water rushing over the top.
This is the same as... this is the same... I hate this argument. It's not just in the music industry. It's in a lot of things. It's the same in the mining industry. Yep. It's the same in a lot of issues where they say, but this is how it is. If you take it away, I'm going to lose my livelihood.
Yep.
And it's like... you were handed a livelihood?
Yep. Find another livelihood.
Find another livelihood.
I agree entirely. Because you know what? There's billions of people out there that are structurally unemployed because of technology. Why can't the record industry executives be structurally unemployed?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because how else are they going to get the chicks and the cocaine?
That's a fair point.
Through ape.
Oh, yeah.
Women, cocaine. Women, cocaine.
She-males.